remember one night specifically, I was looking after this extremely premature baby. The mother was upstairs, intubated, so she was unconscious, fighting for her life because she had COVID. And we didn't know if this young baby I was looking after, by the end of the shift, I didn't know if its mother was going to be alive or not. So it was really quite an emotional time, really touch and go time, very real things were happening. And I just thought to myself, life is too short. In the same way that I didn't know what was going to happen this family, you don't know what is going to happen in your life. Within a blink of an eye, anyone's life can change. And I just thought, there's something more that I want to do out of my life. Although I love the nursing a lot, I felt like with rugby, there's more I can do with rugby. And I think it gave me comfort that because I had already had a nursing degree, I can always come back to nursing. That's the good thing. So it's always that thing I can go back to. So I thought, Z, why don't you just try your hand at just doing something else with rugby, something big? And that's where I made a decision to try and play for England one day.
Hello and welcome to the Women of the Future podcast, a podcast made in collaboration with the Women of the Future programme, a platform built to unlock a culture of kindness and collaboration among leaders, as well as support and celebrate the successes of women. I'm Kim Rowell and I won the media category at their awards in 2018 in recognition of my continued work as a commissioner, producer and children's author, particularly within the mental health remit. I'll be talking to my guests on this podcast about their careers, who or what gave them their first big break, their successes, failures and inspirations along the way, and how they came to be a part of the Women of the Future network. Zainab Alima, aka Z, aka The Bulldozer, is a neonatal nurse by profession and a rugby player by passion. Zainab has been playing rugby for over a decade and, as a Black Muslim mother of three, is passionate about getting more people from diverse backgrounds into rugby. Her determination, commitment and love for the sport has also led Zainab to start Studs in the Mud, her project supporting grassroots rugby in Ghana. She is also an ambassador for the Mintridge Foundation charity, which provides sporting role models for young people in academic settings, as well as volunteering with the Project Rugby programme under both the Harlequins and Saracens Foundation. Zainab endeavours to be a positive voice for the sport and has hopes to inspire and empower the younger generation. She was awarded the Sunday Times Grassroots Sportswoman of the Year Award in 2020 and was a recipient of the Sport Award at the Women of the Future Awards in 2022.
I grew up from African, Ghanaian, so West African background, Muslim household as well, in West London. I have very fond memories of my sort of upbringing and childhood. Big family, so one of six girls. So yeah, wow. Busy households, stealing each other's tops and stuff that we used to do. You'll be wearing your top, next minute she's wearing your trousers or your shoes. So yeah, it was fun. We grew up in a fun sort of environment and really close, knitted family, I'd say.
I read that you were born very prematurely. And did that, I mean, I guess when you're that small, you have very little recollection of that kind of experience. But obviously then your parents informing you of what happened when you grew up, did that plant a seed into your academic life at all? Did you start to think, well, maybe I should lean towards that? Mm-hmm. Or was it too early for any of that kind of consideration?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say from the moment I understood, you know, my how I came into this world, so being premature, I was 26 weeks. So yeah, extremely premature, but I managed to do well. So the stories my parents tell me about how, you know, the nurses and the doctors used to look after me, the moment I understood the concept of, you know, I was in hospital, I was prem, I was fascinated by that workspace. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do it, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I want to become a neonatal nurse. And I just had the burning desire from when I was young. And I kind of feel like, don't take it for granted, because I feel there's a lot of people, a lot of young people who probably don't know what they want to do at that, or even still now, don't know what they want to do, and they have to pick a path quite early. But I was fortunate enough to know from the get-go, because of those experiences and because of the stories my parents used to tell me, that this is exactly where I want to go into. And I just stuck by it, did the courses, and eventually it manifested, and I became a neonatal nurse, which was just incredible, absolutely incredible.
And what were you like as a student? Were you hardworking? Did you mess around a bit? What were you like?
I was definitely say when it came to learning, I was very studious. I loved learning. I feel like if you spoke to any of my teachers at school, they'll say Zainab was a great student. I feel like they'll say good things about me. But I'd say outside of the classroom, got into a bit of trouble at school, but mainly because I had to try and defend myself, because the school that I went to, state school, and I had a great time at school in general, but I used to get picked on a lot by boys for some reason. They used to just try and press my buttons all the time, and would get into like fights and squabbles with them. And so it was more of like not me going out to make trouble, but I had to sort of stand my ground and defend myself. So I ended up getting into a fair bit of fights at school, but the teachers always knew it wasn't sort of me that was coercing the fights. So yeah, I think apart from that, I generally have really fun memories of school, really, really good memories. Like the friendships, I still, speak to a lot of my school friends now, and just the experiences it's taught me and really moulded me into the person I am today, I reckon.
And when did rugby start to come into it? Did you do that as a hobby quite early on? Or was it just something, again, that you caught sight of and thought, oh, that looks really cool, that looks really interesting, I want to give that a go?
Yeah, so rugby, the only time I remember coming across rugby, even before I touched rugby ball, was when I think my dad was flicking through channels, and I just remember seeing men jumping on top of each other and being mud everywhere. And I'm like, what is this? But I had no idea that it was rugby at the time. But my first interaction with rugby was at 14 years old at a PE session at school. And my PE teacher back then was a rugby fanatic, and she loved it so much. And she was like, do you know what? We're going to switch up today. We're going to do rugby. Because at that time at school, on the curriculum, there was, the tennis, rounders, badminton for girls. Even the boys, they did football. Girls did football as well. But rugby wasn't part of the curriculum. But because she loved it so much, she said, do you know what? We're going to do rugby today. And from that session on, I was hooked. I was like, where's this sport been all my life, It felt freeing. I felt like I could express myself. I think the what I loved about it was the physicality, the ability to hold the ball, run through people, and nothing was illegal about it. No one was going to shout at you for being aggressive. It was just great. And I think it also helps me channel energy. So, the energy that I used to get from having to defend myself and having fights with some boys at school, to use rugby as a positive way to sort of release that energy, was really good for me.
So using it as an outlet, because you're a very energetic person. I really get that kind of sense from you. And you're just saying that was a way of literally just being like, pressure cooker. This is where I can direct it. This is where it needs to go. And then if you direct it in a sporting way, you can be brilliant at it, which is clearly what happened with you.
Do you know what's so funny, Kim, actually? I'm actually an introvert. Well, I grew up being an introvert. I was more of like on a softer side and quiet side. If you meet my family, I'm the quiet one, basically.
Okay.
But I've grown to become more confident through rugby. So I feel like rugby's given me that extra spring in my step, that extra layer of confidence that has grown with just being on the pitch and playing rugby with people. So I actually was quite a calm person, but obviously if you'd, not rub me the wrong way, but if I got in a bit of trouble, then there's obviously a different side to me. But in general, I was a really calm person, but rugby brought a lot of good out of me. And like you said, it helped me to channel that energy. And I felt like as soon as I get on the rugby pitch, it was just like, forget about all the stresses outside of rugby. Just use the pitch as your canvas to just express yourself. And that's what I do, I feel like, to this day.
It's so interesting. When you talk about like breaking stereotypes, so you just said you're an introvert. Obviously, you're a black woman, you're a Muslim woman. And I also understand that your dad was massively reticent in the first instance, saying this is a man's sport. Why do you want to play rugby?
Yes.
Can't you play tennis instead? That kind of thing. So when you look at it like that, and that's kind of like a lot of counter evidence to doing it at all. So what gave you that passion? What made you think, do you know what, sod it, I love doing this, I'm going to crack on and do it?
I think it's just a feeling it gave me, rugby gave me. It gave me a sense of identity, a sense of purpose, and just the feel of if you think of it, it's such a physical game. To use that sort of, to be so physical, but also knowing that you're going to get tackled, you're going to eat mud at some point because someone's going to take you to the court. The ability to get back up and go again. I just loved that sort of mental challenge it gave you, because you have to be resilient on a rugby pitch. Mm. You get knocked over, you're gonna have to get back up again, you're gonna have to, you know, spur your teammate on, they're gonna spur you on. It's that camaraderie. I feel like that really stuck with me, and that made me continue, but despite, I guess, you know, the outside barriers or the pressures that was coming from outside to make me think otherwise. But just that feeling of, this is a sport for me where I can express myself, really helped me to stay, really. But it was difficult. Really, it was, because I kind of felt like I would be looking around and I didn't see any black people on my team, especially in university. I was the only black person on the team for a while, sometimes only the only black person on the pitch. They would play in opposition, I'd be the only one on the pitch. Wow. Those things really played heavy on my mind, and there was actually a point where I almost left rugby, and that was towards the end of my playing days at university. But there was two things that kept me in a sport, one of them being the fact that I could wear a headscarf to play rugby, because up until then I'd wear it, but I wasn't sure if I was allowed. So I thought, if I'm going to do this sport and I'm going to throw myself at it, let me just actually look at the rule book and see if it's something that I'm allowed to do. Because it was really important to me that I didn't have to compromise my faith. So when I read into the laws of rugby, it said you could wear a headscarf, you know, for religious reasons, you can wear head coverings, and that was fine. So that was one thing. The next thing was role model. So I ran a rave about this woman called Maggie Alfonsi. I don't know if you've met her before. She's an absolute legend.
I know who she is.
So her and the fact that I could wear a headscarf were the two things that kept me in the sport, because there was a time I was thinking, I don't know if I belong here, and I think maybe my time's up with rugby. Although I love it, I don't know if I belong. But her and the fact that I could wear her scarf was like, do you know what, Z, you've got to do it, because
And do you think, they talk about things changing and change takes time and it's incremental, but in the World Cup, for example, there was a lady wearing a headscarf and it came off. I forget which team she was playing for, but then her teammates surrounded her, and I think also the opposition surrounded her until she adjusted it and got it back on. So do you think the respect element has improved with, you know, more diverse people in sport, or is there still miles of ground to be covered in that way?
There's definitely more ground to be covered, but in particularly in the issue of racism, I think we've got a way place to go. There's obviously a lot of things in the media and things about not just racism but misogyny and surrounding the World Cup, etc. So there's a lot of things that pop up and still things that we need to try and alleviate from the world of sport. But I think from my experience, I feel like in terms of ethnic diversity, we are moving in the right direction, because I can say, like, for example, the club that I play for now in Richmond, I look around and there's many other ethnic minorities that play on my team. But I've got, you know, a black coach, for example. I've got many other black players that play with me. So from me being the only black person on the team, and then coming to a club where it's surrounded by other black people and other ethnic minorities, there's definitely a shift. There's definitely something changing for the good. So that's definitely, definitely positive. I think in the outside world, we definitely still need to improve. But sometimes, you know, it can work from grassroots, and then hopefully it will just filter out and it will help the top level as well.
So we've been talking loads about rugby, but you were until very recently still a neonatal nurse, right? So this is like, quite a seismic career pivot. So I wanted to ask you, was there a standout moment, or did you have an epiphany? Was there a light bulb thing that happened? Or was it more just that you thought, this is the trajectory I want to go off in, now's the time, let's do this?
It was a mixture, I think, because at the time that I made a decision, it was during COVID. So there was a lot of things happening, obviously working in the neonatal unit, although other units were hit really hard. With us, it was more like a knock-on effect. So we would have pregnant mums coming in who would need to have an emergency C-section because they had COVID, they couldn't cope with the pregnancy anymore. So we sort of got the babies down at our unit. So I remember one night specifically, I was looking after this extremely premature baby. The mother was upstairs, intubated, so she was unconscious, fighting for her life because she had COVID. And we didn't know if this young baby I was looking after, by the end of the shift, I didn't know if its mother was going to be alive or not. So it was really quite an emotional time, really touch and go time, very real things were happening. And I just thought to myself, life is too short in the same way that I didn't know what was going to happen this family, you don't know what is going to happen in your life. Within a blink of an eye, anyone's life can change. And I just thought, there's something more that I want to do out of my life. Although I love the nursing a lot, I felt like with rugby, there's more I can do with rugby. And I think it gave me comfort that because I had already had a nursing degree, I can always come back to nursing. That's the good thing. So it's always that thing I can go back to. So I thought, Z, why don't you just try your hand at just doing something else with rugby, something big? And that's where I made a decision to try and play for England one day. So that is literally the dream. I want to be the first Muslim woman to play rugby for England. And I feel like it took me a while to be able to say that confidently. I think in the beginning I was a bit like saying it a bit lower toned voice, but now I'm just very confident in saying it, because I understand the impact it may have when other people hear you putting your dreams out there. They go, oh my gosh, like, that's brave.
Yeah.
And probably look at themselves and think, I also want to do something as well. I'm a bit worried, but I can see Z, she's passionate, she's trying to play for England. I think I want to do that too. So, yeah.
That's inspirational, because I think sometimes, I know myself, I'm fearful of saying, I want this. This is where I'm going. I'm going to get this. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever done that. But like you say, it can be an inspiration. If someone's got that unequivocal assertiveness that that's where they're going, that's actually like, wow, okay. That provides fuel for other people, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I think that's the main reason. I've always said that the reason why I want to do it, because I don't have to, I really do. I love rugby. I enjoy playing that at the level I am, but I am pushing myself, I'm stretching myself to try and reach that goal. The reason why is because I just think of how much of a massive impact that's going to be. I talk a lot about visibility, the fact that, you know, Maggie Alfonso inspired me, and that whole narrative of, you know, you can't be what you can't see. I always saw her, so she ignited that want to stay in rugby for me, and hopefully I can do the same for other people. And I think it's not just sort of from the fact that I'm Muslim, I'm a woman, you know, I'm a mother as well, I've got 3 kids. There's going to be other mums who are probably looking at me and thinking, oh my god, like, she's got 3 kids, how does she do it? Like, and then, do you know what, I'm going to sign up to do a 5k local race, I'm going to do a 10k, I'm going to go out, I'm going to go to the gym, just because they're seeing my journey. And so that's what it's all about, really.
And you're inspiring your kids as well. So it's like a win-win situation.
Yeah, they enjoy it.
But across all the work you've done, is there any one thing in particular that you would say stands out for you or that you're particularly proud of?
Yeah, I'd say, because, you know, we spoke earlier about my dad and how he was in the beginning not so supportive about me playing rugby, or just didn't understand why I was playing rugby. But to now seeing the transition where he's just tells everybody that I play rugby, tell everyone that, you know, the first thing he will say to people when
amazing.
He meets them. So for me, I think that's probably one of my proudest achievements, the ability, or the fact that I've had an effect on him, and he's gone from saying that rugby is a man's sport to now telling everybody my daughter plays rugby. So for me, I think that's probably one of my biggest achievements.
And also, tell me more, you founded a grassroots project, didn't you? Studs in the Mud, to raise money for rugby equipment and encourage access to the game for girls and children in Ghana.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah, so Studs in the Mud, it was kind of a project that came to me whilst I was on maternity leave. And I have this strange thing, whenever I'm off on maternity leave, my mind goes crazy and I feel like I need to take on the world. Baby. I don't know if it's the hormones or something, but I thought, I want to do something, you know. And it just came to me, okay, I just sat down and I thought, okay, what do I love? I know I love rugby, I know I love charity, I love helping people. If I merge those two things together, what do I get? And then that's how it sort of was born. And I remember at that time I was playing for Millwall, Venus, down in East London. I put in a group chat, this is what I want to do, can you guys help me think of a name? And you got a few suggestions, and then someone said Studs in the Mud. I was like, do you know what, I like that. And I like the fact that it was studs, obviously, like boots, and then in the mud, I thought grassroots. It just seemed like a fitting name. And actually, if you see the logo, it's a splash of a puddle and it says Studs in the Mud in the middle. And the puddle, I was inspired because I was watching Peppa Pig. And when I was thinking about it, it was really like, you know, just jumping in muddy puddles, I was like, puddle, grassroots rugby. Yep, I'm going to put that on the logo. So Peppa Pig inspired me.
You've got a lot to answer for, that pig.
Yes, haven't you? So the main purpose of it is to try and use rugby as a vehicle to help change the lives of women and children in Ghana. And the reason why I wanted to do it in Ghana, because I just thought it's sort of my heritage, and I wanted to know what they're doing out with rugby in there. And obviously they have a get into rugby programs. Rugby still far newer than it is here, but they're doing good work, Ghana Rugby and Ghana, to help promote the sport. So I shipped a lot of equipment there after donations from different people and clubs in the UK. And I went out to Ghana and I met the children, because a lot of the children were playing rugby in barefoot. They were playing rugby in sandals, really not appropriate footwear. But to be able to give them boots that cost 20 quid that somebody donated, the smiles on their faces. Aww. And for me, I was just like, oh my God, this is what I'm going to do. Like, I want to use my passion to help bring happiness to other people. And that's essentially the bottom line of the project.
That's amazing. Well done. Congratulations. It's such an incredible project.
Yeah. There's more to do with that. So watch this space. I'm going to do more out there, hopefully.
So how did you hear about the Women of the Future programme, and how have you been involved with them since?
Yeah, so that was quite a funny story. So I was part of Women's Sports Trust. I was an athlete underneath that program, amazing program. You have a chance to have a look at it, where we just bring athletes together and trying to just give them a platform to sort of change the world through their passions of sport. And we have activators that we get assigned to, and my activator was the amazing Claire Bolden. I was so, you know, I was incredibly lucky to have Claire as my activator. And one afternoon, she just sent me a link and she messaged me on WhatsApp, and she was like, oh, see, like, you know, Women of the Future, I don't know if you've heard of them, they're a great program and they're doing an award ceremony. I really think you should put yourself forward.
You've got Claire Balding on WhatsApp.
I know. I don't even know how. Yeah, it's very, very, very weird. You know what? My life is so weird. One minute I'll be rubbing shoulders with like big people, and next minute I'm just like late, sweating, trying to rush this kid to school. I'm like, it doesn't make sense. But that's literally how it goes in my life. It's very strange. I love it. So she sent me this link and I was like, okay, I'll have a look at it. I was like, thank you. And then I didn't do anything about it for a week. And then I did sign up, actually, when she sent it to me. And then they sent me an email. It was like, oh, last chance to sign. I was like, oh, I forgot about this. I thought, let me just do it. So I just put it in. I put a lot of stuff in it. And they came back to me. I think Georgia messaged me and was like, oh, can we get a bit more information on this and that? So I sent that through. And then I think about a week later, they said I got shortlisted. I was like, oh, God, this is amazing. I couldn't believe it. I was like, what? And I told Claire, she's like, yeah, of course. Like, why would you? I was like, no, but I can't believe you sent me the link. I'd never think I would even be shortlisted. And I went on to win the sports category.
Yeah, well done.
Oh my, I could not believe it. Because the people that were in my category, I'm like, they were awesome. So for me to get it, I was like, oh my God.
So well good. Done, you. What an achievement. That's incredible.
Thank you so much.
Right, I have some quick fire questions to finish with, if you are ready. Okay. Sure. What would you describe as your greatest success?
Greatest success, I'd say, is being able to have 3 kids and play rugby.
I don't know, genuinely, I have 1, and you make me feel tired.
I think that's a success story in itself. Oh gosh, yeah, I'll say that. Being a mother and trying to play rugby and trying to reach the top, I think is a success in itself.
And your greatest failure?
Greatest failure. Ooh, interesting one. What would be my greatest failure? I'll say maybe, that's a hard one, Kim. What's my greatest failure? Do you know what? This is going to be a rubbish answer, but I don't really see anything as a failure.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah.
Failure is a tough word, right? Yeah. You always learn from bad experiences,
exactly.
Don't you?
Exactly. Yeah. Failure is a very harsh word for me, I feel. I feel like there's always something you can learn, you can take from it. Yeah, I don't know if I could.
It's all a learning experience.
I'll go with that one, yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
We'll take that. Okay, so the mantra of Women of the Future is kindness and collaboration. What does that mean to you in both your personal and professional life?
Kindness and collaboration. I really love that mantra. And I think for me, it's just, I think everyone has talents. Everyone has certain gifts and things that they can use to help change and impact other people's lives. So I think the ability to use your passion to impact someone's life positively, for me, that's the whole essence of not just life itself, but, you know, life, but leading with kindness. So I think for me, it's just using your talents to help other people. I think that's what I would say about that mantra.
And paying it forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Is there anything that scares you?
Yes, I'm really big on legacy and leaving a legacy. That's a big part of my life. And I'm scared that I would end up leaving the world and I haven't done my best to leave the best legacy. That scares me, because I've always been the type of person that I want to leave my impact in this world. And the fact that the way I came into this world as well, like a 26-weeker, odds against you, and I've managed to live a really, thank God, a good life up to now. So I've got to leave good way too, so, and leave good things behind. So for me, it scares me if I wasn't able to do that.
And like you say, coming into the world as a 26-week term baby,
yeah.
Your nickname now is the Bulldozer, right?
Yeah.
So that's like the antithesis of that, isn't it? Talk about coming full circle or whatever.
Absolutely. Do you know what the Bulldozer means?
I have absolutely no idea. I was going to ask.
I was actually when I took the awards for the Woman of the Future, and I made a speech, and it just came out. I did try and plan a little bit, but most of it was just speaking from emotion. Mm. So the Bulldozer, I was asked, well, what is it? It's a construction equipment that you see in building sites that smashes things, that demolishes things. And I like to think that me being a Black Muslim woman within rugby, I'm breaking down the stereotypes and smashing down barriers. But at the same time, it's not just about the breaking the barriers or the smashing things. It's about paving the way and creating space and building the foundation for something bigger and better. So it's an analogy that brings construction and life lessons and life experience. And the bulk of it, or the foundation of it, is to be bold and be yourself. And I guarantee we all know bulldozers. We know, and everyone has a bulldozer within them. I'm not the only one in this world. So I do try and get people to bring out their inner bulldozer, because everyone does have one.
It's weird, isn't it, as well? Because that's a very masculine term. And I think the feminine association with that isn't so palatable, right? It's not like people don't accept it as readily. And you're entirely right. Why can't you be bold and brave and stick it out there?
Yeah.
And I hugely admire everything that you're doing in that space to try and turn that on its head, because you are very feminine. Like you say, you have three kids. You couldn't be more of a mother figure. But yeah. Also, you have this capacity and facet to who you are,
yeah,
that is just, you know, it's just all of who you are. There's so many different components of it.
So many, yeah. I do feel like in terms of the name, the Bulldozer, it fits. I feel like it fits women.
Smashing.
Because if you think about it, the kind of things that women have to go through, like period pains, the childbirth, the hormones, everything that women go through, you've got to be pretty made of tough stuff. And that in itself is a bulldozer. A bulldozer is tough. So I definitely, if anything, I'd say women are bulldozers. It's full stop.
Love it. What's left on your to-do list?
So definitely to reach the England goal, to play for England one day. That is the absolute ultimate goal. But I'm also mindful that I'm enjoying the process, enjoying the journey, because I like to think of this as like a cake with a cherry on top. So the cherry on top would be the England goal, but the cake, you know, the meaty stuff, the good stuff, is the journey, and it's not just a destination. So I'm trying to take everything as it comes, trying to enjoy the journey, and just the result will take care of itself. So yeah, to play for England and to leave a legacy behind is on my to-do list.
You are amazing. It's been brilliant speaking to you. I feel energized literally just from having a chat with you.
Thank you so much.
God knows what your family are like. They must just be full of it all the time. thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Kim.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Woman of the Future podcast. If you enjoyed it, please hit the subscribe button. And while you're there, why not give us a rating and review? You know you want to. For more about the Women of the Future Awards, network and initiative, please visit www.womenofthefuture.co.uk. See you soon!